This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Horace Mann was a Massachusetts legislator and an educational reformer. He is actually known as the father of American education, that is public education, for his role in the creation of public schools. In 1837, he became the Secretary of Education in Massachusetts, and then he was joined, well, he was the founder of public education, but he was joined then by a fellow by the name of John Dewey. John Dewey actually became the philosopher of American public education. In fact, it's John Dewey that has had the most long-standing influence on American public education, called secular humanism. So these two men had the greatest influence on American public education. That's Horace Mann and John Dewey. Mann helped to implement the first statewide public school system in Massachusetts in the 1830s, while Dewey impacted educational theory. John Dewey signed the Humanist Manifesto. The Humanist Manifesto. Why is that? Because he didn't have much care for the Christian faith. In fact, he didn't care for it at all. He felt that it was way too restrictive. So he developed his own religion. It was called secular humanism, or humanism. Humanism asserts that the nature of the universe depicted by modern science makes unacceptable any supernatural or cosmic guarantees of human values. In other words, it excludes God. Religion, he said, must formulate the hopes and plans in the light of the scientific spirit and method. So science then becomes God. Believing that religion must work increasingly for joy and living, religious humanists aim to foster the creation or creative in man and to encourage achievements that add to the satisfaction of life. So it's all about me. The goal of humanism is a free and universal society in which people voluntarily and intelligently cooperate for the common good. Humanists demand a shared life and a shared world, which means humanism is the foundation for globalism and the New World Order. Need I say more as to the role, the intended role that John Dewey had for American public education? And while purportedly to advance the cause of democracy, it was not as you might think. It was about laying the foundation to completely govern the thinking and direction of America's youth. There's a term that lawyers use to describe the relationship between teachers and students. It's called loco parentis. It's a Latin phrase that means in the place of the parent. So in effect, ultimately, public education now, after all these years since the 1830s, after all these years, public education now is deemed to be a replacement for parents. Maybe that will help you to understand then why it might be of some interest and concern to you to consider what is called homeschooling. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. We have a very unusual guest here today on Viewpoint. It's a woman whose name is Sam. That's right, Sam. And it's Mrs. Sam Sorbo because her husband's name is Kevin. And the two of them are kind of a bit notorious in a way because they've been in the, well, not so much the educational world, but the entertainment world, movies and so on. You might recognize their names. And Sam, it's good to have you on the program.
Well, it's so lovely to join you. And that was a fantastic introduction to the conversation that I am very much looking forward to having about education. It is the conversation that every parent should concern him or herself with regarding their children.
Well, my wife and I began this journey in homeschooling back in the mid-1970s. I was a public school teacher from 1967 to 1975 when I began to practice law. And those were the years in which it was the complete overturning of educational thinking and theory to conform more to the vision of John Dewey. And I watched it happen. I was right in the midst of it. And I wrote a letter to the principal of the school where I was teaching. I said, what is it about these armchair philosophies that are not rooted in the fires of reality? Those were the words that I used in the letter. What is it about these armchair philosophies that are rooted in something radically different than the education that I received in public schools, which I thought was pretty decent? But things have changed since then. And that's why my wife and I considered in the mid-1970s, we've got to do something for our girls because we don't want them infected by the spirit of the public school. How does that sit with you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you were definitely onto something. I've gone a bit farther than that. And I will say that our education system, what I like to term is our school system, because I don't believe that it's a system of education. It's a system of schooling. And there's a vast distinction.
You mean indoctrination?
Well, I do. And the education of a child is the indoctrination of the child.
Okay.
With the proper doctrine.
Uh-huh.
The doctrine of truth.
Now we're talking.
So they've changed the doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
But they've changed it even before you went to school. And so you think that you were educated, and you likely were because you had parents who were involved. But at this point, we are a largely unparented society. The parents are the ones who typically will indoctrinate the child, and the school takes care of academics. And that was the grand bargain.
Yes.
From the get-go.
That's right.
The grand bargain. And so we thought, well, we can outsource the academic education of the child,
uh-huh.
and the parents will take care of the indoctrination of the child, and that should work out just fine. Except that the moment that we let parents, let's say, off the hook, right? And
uh-huh.
the parents said, well, my kids are away from me for several hours a day. And then it was, well, the mom has to work, so now the children have to be at school the entire day plus,
uh-huh.
and then it's like the parents work full time, so the kids go away to school over the summers and stuff. So basically, we supplanted the parents, which is why your phrase in loco parentis, right?
Right.
That's the perfect way to encapsulate what we're seeing today with the parents saying, "Now wait a minute, I didn't agree to allow you to be the parents." But yes, you did. You tacitly agreed, and that's what our culture has done. We have we have allowed the job of parenting to be usurped by the schools. But the schools don't parent; they pretend, but they don't do the job.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate thing. It's a very painful thing to watch the ramifications of it. And if you look at our culture, you look at all the indicia of our culture, you find the fingerprints of John Dewey and, well, particularly John Dewey in our culture today. The very things that we don't like are the things that we can trace back 100 years to John Dewey. We'll talk more about this when we get back, friends. A Parent's Guide to Homeschool. You're going to want to get a copy. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction talk, hopefully that transforms. And again, the matter of the education of our children is one of the most important, one of the most serious issues of our time. And just like you cannot delegate the full responsibility of education, even for reading and writing and arithmetic, Even so, you cannot fully delegate the spiritual training of your children like so many parents have tried to do. Well, I'm going to send them to a Christian school. Well, I'm going to send them to Sunday school. Well, I'm going to have the youth leader take care of them. No, that's the number one parent's job. And so my wife and I have taken that very seriously over the years. We now have not only three daughters, but we have 10 grandchildren, two great-grandchildren. And we see even there as the concepts of delegated parenting spin out, you can see it, how it affects children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And friends, this is not a time that we should play footsie with our kids. We've got to take this seriously. My wife and I decided to take it seriously back in the 1970s, when actually it was not popular at all to consider homeschooling. In fact, in many states, it was illegal. But now the spirit of homeschooling is spreading across the nation, and there are very good reasons for it. So our guest today, Mrs. Sam Sorbo, with her book, Parents' Guide to Homeschool, is going to be in your bookcase, my friend. It's a $25 book, yours for $21, on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Tucker Carlson says Sam Sorbo knows homeschooling and her family is a testament to the fact that it works. All right, Sam, a little bit of, shall we say, well, people would be interested in your life and that of your husband. And I remember over the past year or so receiving the Epoch Times. And every week on the back of the Epoch Times was a one-page ad containing the name of your husband. What's that all about anyway?
You got me. That was a while ago. I can't remember what that project was. He's done a lot of projects that Epic has supported in the past. He just had a movie come out called The Firing Squad.
That's the one. That's the one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The Firing Squad. Sounded like pretty serious stuff.
It's based on a true story. It's a wonderful story. And if you know anything about my husband, you know that he was very, very involved in Hollywood. And then they figured out that he was a conservative Christian, and they stopped talking to him, basically.
You mean they gave him the left foot of fellowship?
He was basically the OG of the cancel culture movement. And so so we basically branched out on our own and got involved in making faith. Now, here's the interesting thing. What I discovered is every movie is a faith-based movie. It just depends on what your faith is.
Exactly.
And so, you know, and the problem is we are not raised, because we go to school, we are not raised to recognize that there is a war of worldviews that is taking place inside us, even. It's all around us, and it's now in our children. And any Christian parent in his right mind would never send his child to a school that's not a fully Christian school with fully Christian teachers who he personally vets, because nowadays teachers go to teaching colleges, right? But it's bigger than that. So The struggle that I have is that people think that they know what they're talking about when we say the word homeschooling, but they really don't.
Okay.
And the reason that they don't is because their definition of education is skewed to mean school, but school is not education.
Okay. Help us define what education is then from your viewpoint.
That's a great question. It's one of the first questions that I try to get people to think about in the book. How do you define education? And the Latin education is educare, which means to lead out. What it is the uncovering and the exposing of the child into adulthood, to lead the child into being a productive, kind-hearted, giving and forgiving adults.
Well, John Dewey would have said that that's exactly what he was trying to do. But he had a different viewpoint, a different end goal.
He's got it with a bunch of lies. And so now they're training children in lies.
Right.
They've got doctrine. They're doing indoctrination. We know this. They're just indoctrinating with lies. And because we went to school and we learned, well, the educators, they know what they're doing. Never question the school. You had 13 years of the school knows better than your parents.
Right.
You had 13 years of that. I had it.
Yeah. And so how dare you question, I mean,
correct,
the parent, the school knows they're trained teachers. And how dare you as a parent question any of that? That's what a former governor of Virginia tried to do.
That's correct. And what happens is, you know, I talk to parents who are former teachers.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, it's going to be harder for you to embrace home education because the doctrine lives deep within you. because the philosophy of schooling,
uh-huh,
as opposed to, I juxtapose it to education, the philosophy of schooling will get in their way. The what I want parents to wake up to is that children are driven by an engine called curiosity that is indwelt in them by God.
About. Yeah, true.
God has made them curious for things that will interest them. That's their personal gifting. And what we do is we force them to do math at 10 a.m. and social studies at 11 a.m. and they're
right,
not interested in that. And what they learn from that is that school is hard, learning is hard, teaching is hard. All of these are lies, but this is what they learn because they're coerced by the schools, and eventually they learn to hate it all, and it's basically a distraction. As parents, we ought to be in the business of discovering who our children are, who God created them to be, helping them discover for themselves what brings them joy, or as the founders termed it, happiness, which is purpose, what the purpose for their life is. And incidentally, what they learn in school is their life has no purpose. They're accidents of nature. They have absolutely no purpose, and they're worthless, which will only lead to more school shootings.
And then they can't figure out. They're so disappointed, lack of fulfilling, and so on. And then they're said, well, yeah, you have to go to college. You have to do this. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to make a living. And so the story continues in that direction. I'm looking at the back of your book here with a wonderful family picture here. It's in black and white, but it's almost as if it were in color because it's so patriotic. And so you have one, two, three kids, I guess.
Three kids, 23, 20, and almost 19 tomorrow.
Okay, so they've grown a bit since this picture.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And... We're all moving forward. Time tells us that. So
yeah, they're less cute now.
They're less cute. Well, in some respects, we're all less cute than we were 10 years ago. So, Sam, you and your husband, Kevin, have your own studio now, don't you?
We do. We have Sorbo Studios.
Uh-huh.
Where we are engaged in making films that uplift and inspire, and then I also am engaged really in empowering parents,
uh-huh,
to keep their children close.
All
and
right.
The reason that I say that is because the schools have broken the family. The schools have decimated the family. The parenting, the idea of the very idea of parenting is now under attack.
Yes.
Our children are under attack because the parents have been under attack for this long, that now we live in a culture that is arrayed against the child.
Well, in
we
fact,
hate children in our culture.
In fact,
we
California.
Them of their childhood. We murder them in the womb. We mutilate them in laboratories and call it health care. Gender care,
uh-huh,
or whatever. And the human trafficking of children is off the charts now. And this is all a product of the system of schooling that we have allowed to be implanted. in this country. By the way, can I just point out?
Go ahead.
The schools are the biggest experiment we have going. This nation was founded by 56 geniuses. You can call them what you want. You can call them whatever, you know, whatever pejorative you want. But they created the greatest nation on earth.
Right.
And there's no disputing that. And the way they did it is they were very, very clever. Why? They were home educated.
Isn't that fascinating? And they, when they were kids, learned Greek and Latin, and they were able to do things that nobody today could even imagine.
But we've lost faith in the child because of the schooling, because the schools have taught us that children hate to learn, but they don't. Children love to learn. The thing you want to do is not school at home. Leave school out of the education of your child. Let your child learn and encourage him to learn and stoke his curiosity, and your child will shoot higher than you will ever imagine for yourself because you were stifled because you went to school.
You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking of my oldest grandson. He happens to be in his third year of residency as a doctor. But when he was in med school, he found that it was very hard to learn. And so what he did, he went to YouTube and he began to study on his own a whole lot of different things. He moved so quickly and advanced so much quicker by doing that. And those around him, the doctors around him, began to pick up on that. And they actually asked him to speak on behalf of the medical association to the Virginia government when he was just a med student. And then they asked him to go down and give a presentation to the gathering of cardiac specialists in another state. How could he do such a thing? Well, he had done a lot of studying on his own, and it was so moving. It was motivating, and that's what's missing in a lot of our kids, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very sad what we do to our children today. I'm not surprised, because I will tell you, there are still good people that are in this very perverted and corrupt system of schooling that we have in the nation. There are still good people in there, and so the good people will recognize somebody of quality. And they'll try to figure out, well, how do I get some of that quality? We should share that. That's good quality. We need more of that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And God bless them for trying.
Yeah.
But if he can share with people what he has done to facilitate this, and frankly, you can go to many homeschoolers, the ones who haven't been stifled by the application of school in the home.
Uh-huh.
Because that in itself is stifling. That's what I endeavor to free parents from. Our schools are a system of slavery. We are enslaved to our school. That's why parents say, oh, I could never homeschool. Oh, I don't know how to, I don't even know how to start, right? Mm-hmm. Because they've been enslaved to the schools. And so it's like, well, I can't go off the plantation. I'm here to serve the master, right?
So it's sort of a social addiction.
It really is. Mm. So if I can get through to parents for them to understand the incredible, it's like going from black and white static to Technicolor,
uh-huh,
full Dolby sound. When you finally break free of the shackles that the schools have put on you with your understanding of what education is.
All right, sister, look, you had three kids, and you and your husband are involved in the entertainment business, making movies and all of this kind of stuff. So how in the world would you have time to do any of this, and how does that happen?
Well, that's part of the joy.
Well,
it doesn't take a lot of time for me.
Oh.
And let's face it, I was very involved.
Well, I'll tell you what, you hold on to that thought until after this break, friends. The book, friends, Parents' Guide to Homeschool, you might just want to make education easy and fun again. $21 will put the $25 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries. At $6 for postage and handling, we'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. We're talking with Mrs. Sam Sorbo today concerning a parent's guide to homeschooling and what this is all about and why it's so important and necessary. Before we get back to her, I need to call the attention, remind those of our listeners in Massachusetts and Connecticut and New York, today is the last day to sign up for, to make your reservation for our special listener breakfast up there on November 2nd from 8 to 11:30 a.m. You don't want to miss it. These are so important. I have people who are saying, friends, they call in, they're signing up, they say, I wouldn't miss this for anything. I love these gatherings, and you will too. So you got to do it today. Go to the website, saveus.org. You can sign up there. There's a special place to sign up. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Don't delay, my friend. Let's do it. Today is the last day to sign up, to make your reservation. Don't miss out. And my wife and I'll be thrilled to see you on November 2nd. You don't want to miss it. You really don't. All right. Now, Mrs. Sam Sorbo, we have to call him Mrs. Otherwise, you might think it's a mister. So it's Mrs. Sam Sorbo, and definitely she doesn't look like a mister. She looks like a Mrs., and that's good in this culture today. So, yeah. You know, Sam, we were talking about what happens to pressure parents, and in California, where I taught for 9 years, in California, the legislature has recently passed legislation signed into law that causes or gives the government the privilege, the freedom, to take children away from their parents if the parent does not affirm transgenderism, homosexuality, and these kinds of things. If the parent doesn't agree, they can be the child can be taken from the parent. What does that say to you?
Do you remember the story from the Bible about Lot and the two angels?
Oh, yeah.
So, unfortunately, I've taken this phrase. I say this phrase quite often, and I mean it. And I'm sad that I have to say it, and I have to mean it. But they want to have sex with your children. And so the gloves are off.
Okay. Yeah, they're sexualizing the kids, and there's no end in sight.
Yeah, at least these are the people from Sodom and Gomorrah, and they want to have sex with your kids. And it's the only way that I can get that across to people is to say it out loud. I hate it, but we have to stop denying that evil exists. And that's the greatest trick the devil ever played, right? Is to teach the world that he didn't exist. But he does. There's evil in the world, ladies and gentlemen. And that evil is really, really interested in the innocence of children.
No question about it. And we could spend a whole hour talking about that. So here's the question then. Here you are, you and your husband, involved with entertainment business, making movies and so on. So how then do you have time to engage in this form of homeschool education. What does that look like?
Oh, yeah. And I worked, I used to do 3 hours of radio every day. So I would do radio from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. And then I'd sit down at the kitchen table with my kids and get their work underway.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is that, and by the way, I'm the first to admit I did it wrong. I focused very much on the academics for my children. And it's not necessary to focus that heavily on academics.
Well, they do need to know some of those basics, don't they?
Yeah, but they can teach themselves.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to force feed them. And I don't advocate that you do force feed them. I actually advocate against the force feeding because it deters the child from learning. The stress is an inhibitor to learning. So the stress that kids are under by going to school actually inhibits their learning. I would submit to you that it's possible that the school paradigm is actually like pleasant and successful for maybe 10% of children, maybe 10%. But for the rest of them, it's a struggle, it's a challenging paradigm, or it's an abject failure. And there's no telling exactly who is really the least served by that paradigm. I want to point out one thing, though. The school, because it has left behind the Christian ethos, it has just left that in the dust.
Right.
The new ethos is that the definition of success, the measure of your success, is the amount of money you earn.
That's true.
Is that the measure of success that you have for your children? Are you going to be displeased with your children if they don't earn a whole lot of money and get a corner office and drive a Ferrari? And if that's not your definition of success, maybe you shouldn't be sending your child to an institution that defines success that way, because that is what they will impose upon your child. And your child will learn that he has no value apart from the amount of money that he earns. And
uh-huh.
That's a horrible thing to teach a child.
Well, it sure
and
is.
And that's, by the way, that's why we have midlife crises. We have individuals waking up at the age of 50 or 60 and saying, oh, my gosh. I made all this money and I'm not happy. What's wrong with me? Give me some Prozac and I need a new Ferrari. And then we have the people who didn't make all the money and they think that they're unhappy because they didn't make enough money, because they didn't grab that brass ring that they were taught was the definition of success. When in fact, the reason that they're not happy is they have no spirituality in their lives.
There you go.
There's no actual reason for being.
All right. So what we're really talking about here, and you just mentioned it, reason for being, is called raison d'etre, the reason for being. And if you don't have an inbred understanding of a reason for being, then everything else seems irrelevant, doesn't it?
It really does. And, I mean, I learned this, in a sense, I learned this, I should say, the hard way. I had to leave college because I was working on an ulcer, because my success was tied so intrinsically with my grades.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't, I really struggled. I was in a difficult arena, uh-huh. a very challenging arena. So I left school for a year and I made a lot of money. And I traveled the world and I had a blast. And I went back to school and I got the best grades in my life without even trying.
Whoa.
Because all the pressure was off, because I knew how to make money. And because all that pressure was put on me to make money, I could never perform as well before. But when I got back to college and I performed so well, then I decided that it wasn't worth it. I quit because I could make the money. So I went off and I made a ton of money. And a few years later, I went, my gosh, if this is all life is about, I might as well just kill myself now. I did exactly what they told me to do. I made a ton of money. I've accomplished. I'm 21 years old, and I'm accomplished now. I'm done. And that's literally what led me to Christ.
Isn't that interesting? So you became a believer,
yes.
Confessed Christ at age 21.
There's more to life than money.
All right.
There's more to life than money.
And how about Kevin? How about Kevin? When did he become?
He's always been a believer.
He's always been a believer.
He was raised in a church. He's always been a believer. But I was going to say, we teach children in school that it's only about the money. How dare we do that? That's lying to them. That's mm-hmm. child abuse. It is abuse to keep the truth from a child. It is abuse to tell a child that he's educated while you hide the Bible from him. And I don't care if you believe in the Bible or not. It's the most important text in the history of the world.
No question.
If you hide that from a child, you are depriving him of understanding Shakespeare. You're depriving him of understanding some of the greatest works of literature, some of the greatest thoughts that man has ever been exposed to.
In fact, you can't even understand many of the phrases that are common in American conversation parlance without understanding the Bible, because they come from the Bible.
Yeah, you shouldn't hide your light.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I don't know. It came from the Bible. But no one told me what was in the Bible. And not only that, they told me that the Bible was a bunch of fairy tales and I should ignore it. That's what they teach in school.
That's right.
That's why it's not education.
Exactly. Okay, now your kids, their ages again?
23, 20, and 19 tomorrow. And can I tell you, I overheard my sons chatting today, arguing about theology.
Okay. And what was the nature of his argument, if you dare share?
I honestly don't remember. They're discussing various religious, creeds,
uh-huh.
various different ways of Christianity.
Uh-huh.
And so they were discussing the validity of, and I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
But I just barely overheard it. But I thought, literally, like this morning, I'm like, how is this really possible? These two boys are about to go to the gym, but they're discussing theology and why people should believe one thing and using scripture. No, because in Micah it says this, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay.
Isn't that interesting? So they're actually not just regurgitating something like John 3:16, but they're actually applying what the Bible says to evaluate and discern truth.
Can I share a secret with you?
Go.
And this is something that I share with parents. You don't have to worry about the academics. You need to get them reading their Bible. You need to read the Bible with them. You should, as a parent, read the Bible with your child every day. And I'm not asking for a lot. I'm saying 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying give the Bible to your child to read out loud. Struggle through the hard words, the hard names that are hard to pronounce. Look at the annotations. Get an annotated Bible. Read the Bible. I did that with my kids. It was completely by accident. I mean, I didn't know that it was going to light them on fire for truth. But that book is a very special book.
Mm.
And it gives them truth. And they fall in love with the truth. And they will never let it go.
I hear the tears in your voice.
Yeah. It's the number one best thing you can do for your child.
All right, we're going to pick up on that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Parent's Guide to Homeschooling. We're going to have to explore what that means a little more deeply now. $21 will put the $25 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at Save Us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. If you're writing a check, get $6 for postage and mailing. We'll be right back with Mrs. Sam Sorbo.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
It's always a blessing to come before you here day after day after day, my friends, to talk about, from God's viewpoint, the things that matter most. We can talk about the economy. We can talk about immigration. We can talk about all these other issues. But if we don't deal fundamentally with what we're talking about today, we miss the point. The reason we have so many of these other issues is because we aren't talking about the things that matter most. And so we end up with all kinds of corollary issues out there that distress us. So, I'm so delighted that we're making an acquaintance here with Sam Sorbo today concerning her book. Actually, it's her book, but it's also a reflection of her husband, Kevin, and their life together. And so I wanted to, first of all, I want to say this, Sam. I have 10 grandchildren, and the three oldest ones were all homeschooled. And one is now in his third year of residency as a doctor and has been elevated over and over again more rapidly than his peers to various positions. Next, his sister, just younger than he, has been a nurse now for 6 years. His two brothers, which are considerably younger, have just entered their jobs as electrical engineers and mechanical engineers, and they were all homeschooled. How is that possible?
Well, that's a rhetorical question.
It is.
I think I wanted to ask you, what do you credit his the oldest tremendous advancement, say, over his peers? What do you credit?
Okay. I credit it to three things. One, he was instilled with the desire to learn more and in different ways other than just the roteness of his exposure to med school.
Great.
He began to do his own inquiry.
Who instilled it?
So he was inspired. And his inspiration, coupled with his personality, has enabled him to be catapulted into favor that otherwise would probably have eluded him.
But what inspired him? Do you know?
Well,
because what we want to do is we want to give parents, this is what I try to do in my book, we want to give parents the recipe. You want some, like, it's a great story. This kid is, like, off the charts. He's, like, killing it out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the parents who listen to this are saying, yeah, well, I can't give my child that inspiration. I can't afford my child the, I don't know what, like the offset, the default is, but the schools do it better.
Yeah, even well, the problem with that is that the school doesn't necessarily do the inspiration. It does the didactic teaching, but it doesn't necessarily do the inspiration. That's a completely different thing.
It's like on this program,
We have vast amounts of information we deliver to people. And people remark, how can you come up with all this information? But that's not the purpose of our program. Our program is here for transformation. That's always the focus. And if that's the focus, that's where inspiration comes from. If we're looking for transformation in our lives and not just information, we're on information overload. You can be weighed down with you can be weighed down with biblical information. So you got people going to Bible study after Bible study after Bible study, and their lives aren't really changing. They think that getting more information is what God's looking for. No, He's looking for application. That's where the inspiration comes from, when we learn the application and we have meaning in life. Isn't that what we're looking for?
So I love that, and I'd love to add to it.
Go ahead.
Because I think there's a missing piece.
All right. We're just sitting in my living room here having a nice conversation, Sam.
This young man was inspired to go outside, to color outside the line.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he was never forced to color inside the line.
Uh-huh.
Because he was home educated.
You're right. That is
so
true.
Even though he was home educated and he was likely – schooled at home, likely.
Yes.
Although maybe not, you know. But
no, he was.
Probably there was a lot of academics, right? Even despite that, he understood, because he didn't have school 8 hours a day inside the institutional box that children live in when they go to school, right?
Right.
He had more free time. He was able to pursue more personal interests despite all of the course load. I know, because I did this with my kids. So they had the course load, but even so, they finished their work by one in the afternoon. They were done. You know what I mean?
And then you've got some time to begin to do some things that feel relevant. You could explore some other things, aspect corollaries to what you were studying, or something new. And And so how are your kids doing? Be as honest with you can. You know, every kid has a different personality. I know that. But how are they doing now?
So my oldest is an actor, and he's been very busy in many faith-based movies.
Uh-huh.
He struggles a little bit with the whole Hollywood thing, so he doesn't really want to go out to Hollywood, and I don't blame him. He's working on his second book. His first book is called The BS Guide to Politics, and the reason that it's called that is because his name is Braden Sorbo. It's his initials. I don't know what you're thinking, but he has a very wry sense of humor. He also has a career doing social media for people in the conservative circles because he has such a wry sense of humor.
Okay.
And so he's just finishing his second book, and I'm getting the report every day on what chapter he's still working on and what edits he's making. And my second child is a model and an actor also. And
you mean your kids are all acting up?
Yeah. No.
Or are they acting out?
My daughter is the extreme introvert, and she just finished high school, so she is tutoring other people's children right now and coaching for a homeschool athletic group. And she's trying to figure out, because she's really at her heart of heart, she's an artist, and she's a classical artist. She disdains modern art, as we all should. Modern art is an abomination. It's it's an affront and an attack against God. And so she's trying to figure out where she's going to land with that, because she also struggles to perform art for money, because it is such a passion of hers.
Yeah, well, and it's hard to make money with some of those art forms, whether it's musician or painting or anything like that. It's very hard to make a living that way. On the other hand, if you love what you do and do what you love, you can have fulfillment regardless of how much money you're making.
Right.
That's
the point. That's the point.
That's the point.
It's the pursuit of happiness. And we have to understand, happiness was the Aristotelian definition of happiness. It was the fulfillment of your purpose was your happiness. And that's what you should be pursuing. You should be pursuing your purpose.
There you go. All right. Purpose. That is a key. We have to understand our purpose. God has a special purpose and plan for every person. And friends, don't just see this for your kids or your grandkids. How about yourself? There's so many people out there, so many Christians, that don't seem to have any purpose. They're just wandering, going through the motions. Don't have a sense that they're an ambassador for Christ. They don't have a sense of what that means. They don't have a sense of their purpose. They think that they're valueless. No, every single one of us has a calling, a purpose. It may not be grandiose, but it's still a calling and a purpose. When you're involved in that, there's fulfillment.
But we go for 13 years, the most formational years of our lives. We go to an institution that tells us that we have no purpose. That our purpose is money. So you can't blame people for thinking, oh, okay, I'm just going to watch Netflix then.
So I appreciate, You know, I've done quite a few programs over the years. I've been on the air for 29 and a half years now. An hour a day, live every day of the week. Well, 5 days a week. And done a lot of programs concerning homeschooling. But this interview, this conversation has been unique because you have a little different spirit and a little different approach, a little different concept of what it is we're responding to or reacting to and why the system is so demoralizing, shall we say.
Dehumanizing
and demoralizing. And so you're trying to inspire us in this conversation today. That's what I sense. And you've got all kinds of things, issues that you're dealing with in your book. We don't have time to get into that, like socialization. People always argue, well, what about socialization? Well, all I know is that the kids that I've known that have been homeschooled have been socialized in many, many different ways, to the max almost, and there was never any lack. So I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays children learn to poop in the hallway in a litter box. I wouldn't want my child socialized that way. But I'll tell you, you know, I go over this story in the book because this book applies not just to parents. It really applies to everybody who went to school.
Right.
And I talked to a young woman, and I tell this story in the book, who she had the most amazing voice. She had the voice of a cartoon, a beautiful, beautiful voice, but it was very cartoonish.
Uh-huh.
And she said she always wanted to do voiceovers. And I said, well, you should be doing voiceovers. Your voice is remarkable. And she was too afraid because she went to school. And in school, we learn, one of the things that we learn is that we're not capable of doing anything that we haven't been, quote, taught. Even though we have all the evidence to tell us that that's not true, we don't believe our lying eyes because we went to school and we were schooled. And so she said, well, I want to get a producer. And I said, but you don't need a producer. You have an iPhone. Make a recording. Write yourself the script or find a script to mimic and just record the script and then play it for somebody and
good
take their
you.
Comments and then do it again and play it for somebody else. And you have all the capability right there in your hand. And this is what I tell people. Don't believe the lie that you're not capable because you didn't learn it in school.
Mm-mm-mm. Sam, you and I could sit down and have a long conversation.
Yes.
And if you got your husband involved, then we'd have a really long conversation. And I had wished that I could have seen the movie that he came out with. I kept looking for it. It was on the back of Epic Times every week, and I kept looking for it. I didn't see it. So
can I recommend Let There Be Light, which is, I'm sure it's still streaming. Let There Be Light.
Okay. Is that the latest?
No, it's a few years old, but it's the one I'm most proud of.
Great. Let There Be Light, friends. Did you hear that? That's what we're trying to bring to you anyway here on this program every single day. Let There Be Light. So, Sam, thanks so much for joining us. Get a copy of the book, Friend, A Parent's Guide to Homeschool, $21 on our website, friends. And again, for those in Massachusetts, Connecticut, and New York, today is the last day to sign up for our breakfast on November 2nd. So go to the website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Don't delay, friends. This is not a manana thing. Don't put it off. Do it today. Call, and we're going to be delighted to see you on November 2nd. God bless. Be a blessing, friends. And then still get a hold of the book, Parents' Guide to Homeschool. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I trust that you've been inspired by Mrs. Sam Sorbo. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.